Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Ocean Oracle, what seashells reveal about our true nature, and ocean wisdom, lessons from the seashell kingdom, were created by a woman who undeniably has discovered her life's mission. So it's not surprising that Michelle is the name with which this author entered our universe. Michelle Hansen's innate sensitivity and the significant knowledge she has acquired from her lifelong study of her seashell partners make her uniquely qualified to be known as the shell with the voice, serving as their ambassador to the rest of the world. With her one-of-a-kind creation and the help of the oceanic realm, Shelley has revolutionized the lives of everyone with whom she comes in contact with. She's also designed a special online shell reading certification program for those interested in learning the valuable lessons of the seashell kingdom, becoming versed in their language and sharing their wisdom with others. A pleasure to welcome back to This Week in America the ambassador from the seashell kingdom, Michelle Shelley Hansen. Michelle, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. Again.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me back.
It was fun the last time. We got so many positive comments. We're going to take a little more time and we're going to really get into what you're talking about, the really magical world of seashells. And we're doing that with Michelle Hansen, our guest on the program. As we go through it, I will give you her website information so you can get in contact, buy the books there as well. The last time you were here, we talked about the books, the online classes, the first of its kind in the world teaching seashell divination. We discussed a variety of shells, the animals that create and inhabit them, discovering their capacity for intelligence and compassion, and some of the many ways they have interacted with us throughout history. Today, I thought we'd switch gears, talk about your journey with the shells, how applying their wisdom helps others navigate their lives. Part of your story, well, actually sounds like science fiction, but everything Shelley's going to talk about today is true. All of it proves that teachers don't always come in human bodies. We learn a lot from the seashells as well. Let's start at the beginning. For you, when did this first develop? Where did you get this information, this interest in seashells? A lot of people are interested in seashells, but it stops there. You took it a little further and found out some amazing things.
Yes, and I never lived near the ocean. So it's interesting that I would
it
have this
really
passion
is.
For shells.
Yes.
But it began when I was 4 years old. My grandparents returned from a vacation to the beach and they brought me a gift of some shells. And I was instantly smitten. I wanted to know everything about them. So as a few years went by and my parents noticed this interest was growing, they got me my first book on shells. It was called The How and Why Wonder Book of Seashells. And my reaction was, I want to know everything in this book. I need to memorize this book. So I started a journal. And once I had documented everything I could glean from the book, anything became fair game. So I was cutting up magazines and newspapers. If it had to do with shells or mollusks, those are the animals that make shells, and they were fair game for my journal. But I took it a little too far, I think, when my aunt called her little niece, and she had a brand new shower curtain she couldn't wait to show me. And when I arrived, it was pink plastic, but it had pictures of shells on it. And to me, they were calling out to be in my journal. So I asked if I could cut up her curtain, and she let me. So here I have, I still have this.
I love that.
These little pink shells are my aunt's shower curtain.
I love that. What an amazing story. And the fact that this was so early in your life, your family bought into it as well and assisted you with that. The video version of this interview, by the way, you'll find on our YouTube channel, thisweekinamerica.us. We've got the link there. Or just Google it and you'll find it as well. As we're doing this, Michelle has some pictures she's showing, some seashells, part of her aunt's shower curtain. You never know what she's going to show on the program. That's truly an amazing story. You really were captivated at a young age, weren't you?
I was, but my family was so supportive. I mean, to let me cut up her curtain.
Oh, yes.
And as the years went by, family and friends continued that support. So when they traveled, they brought me shells from their destinations, and that allowed my collection to grow. So by the time I was in my 30s, I had 200 shells from all over the world, and I just kept studying.
This is an amazing story and how this has grown. I mean, now, as you listen to Michelle talk through the program today, you'll find out how captivating this is for her and the people that she's worked with, the clients over the years. What made, you got the seashells. What made you realize you could use these as a psychological tool to do readings? How did that develop from just looking at them, being mesmerized by them, to understanding they're more than just that?
Well, I was living in Boston in my 30s, and that was a hub for metaphysical studies. Metaphysics is a sort of gaining information, not using your physical senses. So you obtain information from your inner vision or your inner hearing or intuition. And I was just starting to get interested in that. And a psychic named Robert came to my apartment, saw my shells, and he said he heard of a shell reader. I didn't know there was such a thing.
No.
But he was so impressed with my collection that he suggested I use my shells for that same purpose. So he sort of planted that seed. And since to me, it was the marriage of my two interests, metaphysics and the shells, it got my attention.
Our guest on the program is Michelle Hansen. Her website is oceanoracle.com. Her two books, Ocean Oracle and Ocean Wisdom, you can buy both of those at the website, wherever books are sold, and we'll give you this information throughout the program. Once you knew that they could be used that way, how did you figure out to get messages? I mean, sort of a step-by-step as you went through this process to suddenly realizing what you were studying. When did you realize that you can read these?
Well, once that seed was planted, I sat with my shells and I thought, how can you be used for readings? That means every shell has to have its own message. So there has to be something unique about each of them. And because I'd studied them all my life, that was not a daunting task. They practically have nothing in common. So let me show you. You would think all shells are made by animals. The animals must have similar anatomies. And at a very basic level, at least their heart, you know, such an important organ, must be the same. This is a tusk shell. All my books said tusks, the animals that make this shell, had no heart. And I couldn't figure out how can an animal live without a heart. But they lead a very sedentary life. And so it's the contraction of their foot muscle that circulates their blood. Then you have the octopus. Fossil evidence shows it used to have a shell. They have three hearts, single chambered, separate hearts. Two go to the gills to get the oxygen. And then the third circulates the oxygenated blood. And on the complete opposite extreme, you have the clam. This is a quahog clam. Clams have a three-chambered heart with a pacemaker.
Okay.
So you go from no heart to three separate hearts to a three-chambered heart with a pacemaker. Look at the diversity there.
That's just amazing.
And anything you look at with these animals, if you look at reproduction, you have oysters that are asexual. So the males release sperm into the ocean and the females release eggs. Fish are nearby gobbling them up as fast as they're being released. So it's very inefficient. Then you have species that have a dedicated male and female, and it's heterozygous mating. But land snails have animals that within the same animal, they contain both male and female sex organs. So during an encounter, both leave the encounter with fertilized eggs. And then you have slipper shells. You can see this. It kind of looks like a little slipper.
Oh, yeah.
These live in colonies. And the males are on top, the small little males. The largest slipper on the bottom is a female. And when she dies, the next male in line becomes female. So all the eggs that are laid are male, but during their life, they're going to experience being both genders.
I'm just absorbing all of this. This is amazing.
Know, I'm so sorry. I don't want to cause shell shock, but it's just there's so much diversity in anything you look at, whether it's how they feed. You have vegetarians and carnivores and even cannibals, where they're located, how they protect themselves. All these various factors have that much diversity. And then you add to that their behaviors, how they've interacted with us throughout history, just their name and appearance. And there is a treasure trove of information. And since I knew all this, when I was sitting with my shells, even though there were 200, it took me about a week to decode the individual messages for my shells.
What a remarkable story. And with all of this information, you will find this and much more on Michelle's website, which is very simple, oceanoracle.com, which is the name of one of the books, Ocean Oracle, What Seashells Reveal About Our True Nature, and Ocean Wisdom, Lessons from the Seashore Kingdom, the Seashell Kingdom. Let's talk a little bit about the first time you did a reading. Do you remember the first time you did a reading? Were you
I
nervous
will
going
never
into that?
forget. Remember the psychic Robert who suggested I use
Oh,
my shells for
yes.
that purpose? About a month later, he came back to my apartment and he asked if I'd done any readings. And I said, I can tell you what they all mean, but that's as far as it went. So he asked if he could have a reading. And I thought, I might as well see if there's anything to this. So I asked him to go over to the collection and just pick out whatever shells got his attention. And he picked out two, just two out of 200. And my heart sank because I thought, I barely know him. What can I tell him with two shells? But let me show you. His first shell is this shell.
Okay.
This is called the Episcopal Mitre. Now, this was the shell he picked, but since then, I've been able to acquire a much bigger one so you can see it better.
Oh, yes. Yeah, much bigger.
Whoever first finds a shell can name it anything they'd like, and someone thought this looked like the mitres that the clergy wear,
Oh,
hence the
yeah.
name Episcopal Mitre. And to me, that meant this is a shell connected to religion. The second shell he picked is very tiny, but it has a pattern on it that looks like circles going around it. And so I said to Robert, Robert, if you're focused on religion, you might find yourself going in circles, like making no progress. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. But Robert said to me, I'm an ex-seminary student. I was studying to be a priest. I went, huh? And then he said he ran into something in the seminary that didn't resonate, so he had to leave. But he had that spiritual calling. It's just that instead of becoming a priest, he went down another avenue and became a psychic. So these two shells, the reason I remember this reading is they captured his soul's crisis in two shells. That was so profound that I've been doing readings ever since.
And that was two shells out of 200. He just happened to pick these two, which really told the story of him, didn't it? I mean, that's
It did.
amazing. What was his reaction?
He kind of giggled and he said, "So, this doesn't work, huh?" Like teasing me.
That's just incredible that with the two out of those 200, our guest on the program is Michelle Hansen. Fascinating conversation. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, the video link there as well. What are some of the readings that you did that empowered your clients? Can you think of any of those that the clients were after this really made a major improvement in their life or gave them significant knowledge to make that improvement?
Well, when I talk about empowering clients, people think of readings as predicting something. And with the shells, it's not about predicting. It's about understanding who you are in the present, but that includes your hidden thoughts, your hidden feelings that are impacting you behind the scenes. So if anything is limiting you, once it's brought to your awareness, you can change those thoughts and beliefs, and that will change what you create, and that's empowering. So with that said, let me tell you a story of a TV host and her cameraman. So the TV host came to my home for a pre-interview. She wanted to see what this was all about. And she's looking in my cabinet of all these shells, and there's this one shell that drew her attention, and she just couldn't turn away, and she wanted to know about it. So that shell is called the violet sea snail.
Okay.
But in kids' books, this is called the purple sailor. And the reason is the animal lives on the surface of the ocean, far from shore. But it can't swim. So how can it stay on the surface of the ocean if it can't swim? It uses mucus. Mollusks have mucus, and they use them in all kinds of magical ways. So let me show you what it does. It glues air bubbles together, and it builds a raft.
Okay,
so
yes.
So here's the shell, and the animal is attached underneath to this raft of air bubbles. If it becomes separated from the raft, it would drown because it can't swim. And as I'm telling this to the TV host, she says, "I can't swim." And I said, "Oh, but I should tell you, they're also blind." And she says, "I'm blind in one eye." So now, this one shell in the whole cabinet has revealed two characteristics that hardly anybody knows about her. And she wasn't planning on reading, but because of that, she said, "What does this shell mean?" Well, if the animal's survival depends on clinging to the bubbles, that's like a person clinging to a fantasy, like, "Don't burst my bubble." And because the animal is blind, it's like, "I'm clinging to this and I don't want to see anything else." So that's a strong state of denial. And when she realized that, she wanted a complete reading. So we did the full reading, and that helped her see limitations she didn't realize she was carrying. And it gave her the opportunity to be empowered to change those thoughts as she went on with her life. So that was the TV host. Now, that was a pre-interview. When I got to the studio for the actual show, she told the audience about this, and then she said to the cameraman, "Why don't you pick some shells? Because I brought some with me to the studio." And the cameraman was drawn to this shell. This is called a baler. Pretty big.
Yes.
Well, these are used like buckets. When natives are in the canoes and they don't want them to take on too much water, they use it to bail out the water. And the meaning is bailing out of a situation. And the host said, "That makes total sense because this cameraman is always bailing people out of trouble." And then there was a break in the show. And the cameraman came over and he told me there was another shell, but he wasn't sure if he liked it. It was kind of this push-pull. And it was this particular shell. And I didn't have time to tell him its meaning, but this is a land snail found in New Guinea. That's why it's green. It hides among the leaves. And there's times of the year where the climate is intolerable. And they go into hibernation. You can't find them until the climate changes and they come back out again. So this is all about a change of comfort zone. Like, "I've been there, done that, don't want to do it anymore." So even though I didn't get to tell the cameraman, I'm thinking if he's bailing people out, at some level, it hasn't reached his awareness yet. It's getting old. He doesn't want to be doing it anymore.
Yes.
So at the end of the show, I said to him, I didn't tell him about the meaning of the green tree snail, but I said, you're limited by what I brought here today. You're welcome to come to my house where you have access to all the shells. And that way we can do a full reading. And he did take me up on it, only it was a year later before he came. And I wondered, is he even going to remember what shells he picked? Well, he went right for the baler and no hesitation, right for the green tree snail. So that told me now, a year later, he's at a place where he doesn't want to be bailing whoever this is out of whatever's going on. And when I looked at the rest of the shells in his reading, it turned out his brother was living in his home, eating his food, not lifting a finger to help in any way. And a year ago at the studio, he thought he'd be a terrible brother if he said something. That's why the push-pull. But now, a year later, he'd had it. He was going right for the green tree
Time to
snail.
open up, yes.
Yeah, and exactly that's what happened. He realized even if he said nothing to his brother, it was impacting their relationship. So he left exactly being willing to open up and talk to his brother. That's how that empowered him.
It's just amazing and really changed the quality of his life. He was able to address this issue that really was pulling him down and obviously wearing on him.
Right. And then there's one other really amazing thing that happened for empowering someone, and that was an artist. She came to my home, and the shell showed she was very gifted. So there was no question she's a talented artist. But her paintings weren't selling. And I wondered why, with all that talent. So I asked her to think of the public from their perspective and see what shells got her attention. And she picked shells that meant exposure of delicate information and too raw and uncomfortable. And she admitted that the public kind of, averted their eyes and felt bothered when they saw her paintings. So I'm wondering, with all that talent, why is she painting these off-putting works of art? And shell readings reveal your hidden thoughts and feelings. So I asked her, take a look back at the shells and see if anything else gets your attention. And there were two shells. One is called the cat's tongue oyster. So the expression, cat's got your tongue,
Oh, yeah.
it's about keeping silent. Cat's got your tongue came from a whip called the cat of nine tails. And to protect yourself from being whipped, the best course was to stay silent. That's why cat's got your tongue. So this was about being silent. The other shell that she picked had to do with emotional pain. And you combine those and you get that she was burying or keeping silent this pain she'd been carrying since childhood. She just wouldn't acknowledge it. Well, it wanted her attention. And if she wasn't going to acknowledge that pain, it needed to find another route. That was what the tools of her painting were for. It wasn't meant for the public at all. It was meant for her eyes only. This was a way for those emotions to surface. And so I said to her, it's as if the shells are telling you that it's so important that you acknowledge this pain, that silence is not so golden. And she looked at me in shock and she said, at home, on her easel, was an unfinished painting. And the title of her painting was Silence Is Not Golden.
Oh, isn't that
So
amazing?
now she understood why she couldn't finish the painting, because it wasn't intended for the public. It was for her to privately be able to process those emotions, and it empowered her because now she's liberated to process her emotions with that painting and then create something beautiful for the public.
These amazing stories, by the way, are not fabricated. They're not examples that Michelle came up with last night and thinking about the program. These are real people that you're dealing with, aren't they? And just a very small percentage of those three cases there where these people were really empowered after going, looking, picking out the seashells and listening to the explanation from Michelle. Michelle Hansen, our guest on the program, her website, oceanoracle.com. Have you ever been really surprised by the emotional reaction you get to a particular shell at first sight? Does something ever surprise you?
Yes. I'm going to use posters because when I do readings away from home, I use the Ocean Oracle and I carry these posters. This is part of the Ocean Oracle.
Oh, yes.
There's 200 shells here. So I was in Ohio and a man sat down and he pointed to this shell. I don't know if you can see where my hand is.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
And he said, "All right, I admit it. I'm interested in this shell." And I'm looking around like, I'm the only person sitting here. Who's he making this admission to? But this shell is called the wedding cake clam. And I have the actual shell here so I can show it to you. So this is the wedding cake clam. And someone, again, you can name it whatever you want when you first find it. This is from Tasmania. Someone thought it looked like the icing on a wedding cake. So it was called the wedding cake clam. And I looked at the rest of his shells, and what they were showing was lawyers, courtroom, and defying society's dictates. So whatever this marriage was that he was interested in, it would require some kind of legal change in society's demands. Now, we were in Ohio. At that time, in California, they had just passed a law allowing gay marriage. So that's why he was saying, "All right, I admit it," because it was now on his radar that legally this might become possible.
Interesting.
Now, another similar situation involved the seahorse. I don't know if you can see it here on this poster.
Oh, yes.
A woman arrived, pointed to the seahorse, and she said, "I hate seahorses." Now that shocked me because usually they're greeted with, you know, warm smiles. People love seahorses. But she took it one more step. She said, "I hate seahorses, but they aren't real. They're like unicorns, right?" And I looked at her like, if they're not real, see, to me, seahorse is the ideal nurturing male. The female lays the eggs. They're transferred into his pouch. He nurtures them. And then when they're ready, he goes through the contractions and he births the babies. It's as close as a male ever comes to being pregnant.
Yes.
So to me, they're the ideal nurturing male. And she's telling me they don't exist. So I'm wondering, how could she ever have any kind of relationship with a kind man? And it turned out when I looked at what she told me about the men in her life, they were far from ideal. So I told her seahorses were real. And once she kind of processed that, she said, "Well, where do you find them?" I told her she could go to an aquarium and ask at the information desk where they had their seahorses. And you might even, I told her, you might even need someone to point to them for you. Because I'm thinking, if she doesn't think they're real, she could be standing right in front of them and not see them.
Yeah, not notice.
And the beauty of this exchange was not just that she would finally see a seahorse, but by extension, that would give her nurturing male energy can be real. There can be kind husbands, nurturing fathers. And just that simple change in her belief around seahorses connected to her belief around nurturing males could completely change the rest of her life.
Such an amazing story. I'm just absorbing all of this and what they learned and how they've applied it to their lives, maybe even made changes in their lives because of the knowledge that Michelle was able to share with them. Michelle's website, oceanoracle.com.
Now, there's one other situation when you asked, is there any reaction to the shells that surprised me? And this is actually in reverse. What surprised me was the lack of reaction. I was at a private high school where they invited people in to come do readings. And a young boy sat down and he put out his shells. And before I could start to translate them, he asked me if there was a shell that meant depression. And then he closed his eyes and he said, "Oh, it's purple." And then he opened his eyes and he pointed at the poster and said, "That one." I almost fell off my chair. He was pointing to the shell for depression. And I took out the list of all the names of my shells. This is before I wrote Ocean Oracle. But I had all the names and their meanings I had never shown anyone before. And I said, "You just pointed to the shell. Look what it means. Depression may require therapy." And I lost all ability to remain professional. I was so excited at his accuracy. And he acted like he was just stating the obvious. Didn't faze him at all. And through the rest of the reading, he kept doing that. He would ask me a question, "Can you tell my greatest fear?" and point to a shell, knowing that shell would contain the answer. And so for me, it was empowering because it was showing me I'm not just making up these messages. Yes. He spoke the same language.
It's just incredible what you've been able to do. And it must be such a great feeling you have when you're able to unlock some uncertainty, some keys, some questions in these people's lives. When you were here the last time, you wrote in Ocean of Wisdom as well, to bring awareness of the significance. That's what you want to do. That's the goal of what Michelle is doing. And to say, if you can have these experiences with shells, well, somebody else could. Have you ever witnessed others who have had the same magical experiences that you have?
So many, but that's what I love when you said it must really make me feel good. A woman came and she was in a wheelchair because she had just had surgery. So we set up the chair in front of the cabinet of shells and she picked out her shells and I started delivering the message, which was about the impact her daughter's marriage was having on her. And she said, "That's not right." And I started thinking, oh my gosh, she's in this chair. She can only see the shells at eye level. She can't see what's above her eye level or below. So I put all the shells back in the cabinet and I took out a box that contained pictures that I had taken of every shell. And even though they're stacked together so she couldn't see them, it gave her access to every single one of the shells. And I said, "I'd like you to run your hand over these plastic little cards and pull out whenever you feel the desire, just pull out and we'll see what the shells are." So she did that. We put out her shells. Rick, they were the same ones I just put back. So again, I had to say to her, "I'm really sorry, but this is saying that your daughter's marriage is having this impact on you." And she said, "That's not right." But then she said, "They're not married, they're just living together." And because I had said married, she ignored the whole rest of the message.
Oh, yes.
So I asked her, "Ignore that part and just look at the rest of the message." And then she got it. And then both of us were kind of astounded that the shells were so insistent on the message that she would get the same message twice, even when she couldn't see what shell she was picking. So that was pretty magical. Now, the shells, when they're insisting on a message, it even happens with my students. They hijack the homework. By that I mean, The students are given a homework assignment of a hypothetical client, and they're told the shells that the client picked, and then they send me their interpretation. So a student was sending me her insights, and I couldn't figure out where she's getting this idea. So I asked her, what shell is giving you this idea? And she told me the shell, and it would make sense. That insight matched the shell. But that shell was not in the homework. And the student swore she saw that shell. And I realized that shell wanted to get a message to the student. And the shells don't care if the students get the homework right, because this even happened to another student on a final exam. So I've learned I have to tell the students, ignore the homework, work with that shell, process whatever information it's holding for you. And then you can look back at the homework. And that's what happened. They would look back and say, oh my gosh, that shell was never there. But the priority for the shells was they needed to get a message to that student. That's their mission. And they don't care how the student does as far as the homework. So that amazed me that you've got this woman who twice picked the same shells to get a message. Then you got these students who are seeing shells that aren't even there to get a message to that student. But the most unique way I have ever seen a message get to someone involves the tiger cowrie shell. Let me do a little background here. So this is a tiger cowrie shell. And this side, when you see this slit, in ancient Rome, that reminded them of the genital tract of their sows, their female pigs. But as history progressed, it just became connected to the womb and to the goddess. And in Japan, these are called peaceful child shells because women in labor are given these cowries to grip to facilitate the birth process.
Interesting.
So with that background, a dear friend of mine, her name is Claudia, and she's given us permission to use her name. In the winter, had received this horrific news that a cherished nephew had died from an accident. And she wanted a sign that her nephew was okay. And she requested that sign to be a tiger cowrie. She didn't even know if he knew what a tiger cowrie was, but that's what she wanted because it would not be a shell that's found in New England and it's pretty big. And that would give her comfort that he was okay. At the funeral, in a flower arrangement, there were shells. Now, not a tiger cowrie, but you never see shells in a flower arrangement in the middle of winter in New England. So she thought he did a really good job of answering that request. And then she posted that she was going to take her tiger cowrie, she did have one, to her sister's house because she knew it was the shell of faith. Now, I knew, even if she didn't, when she posted that, that's the peaceful child shell. What better shell to take to a grieving family?
Oh, yes.
So some time passed and she came over and I said, you know, I'm going to be teaching about the cowrie. Could I have your permission to tell the story because it shows the shells are talking to you. They're talking to people other than me. And when I told her it was the peaceful child shell, she was amazed. But then she got a little sheepish and she said, you know, I never got to take my shell because it broke. Does that ruin the story for the students? And I said, no, you had the intention. That's what counts. But because her shell broke, I ran into my living room where I had three large cowries. Now, let me show you how large. So this is a typical cowrie.
Okay.
This is what I had.
Okay, that
Look
is
at
large.
The difference.
Yes.
I grabbed one and I said, here, take this. It'll replace your broken shell. Well, the next day she called me. And the other thing to point out is if you notice, the typical cowrie has more of like a brown background.
Yes.
This was from Hawaii. This has white. So she said she was looking at her shell and the dots on the pattern really stood out. And they spelled letters. And the letters that she saw were J, A, R, E, D. Jared. Jared was the name of her nephew who died.
Wow.
On a tiger cowrie shell. So I'm thinking, in her grief, she must want to see this. I asked her to bring the shell back so I could see it. So let me show you the shell I gave her. So this is the shell.
Okay.
Now let me connect the dots for you.
This is just amazing. Each story gets a little more amazing than the one before.
I know. That sounds like science fiction, right? So this, if you can see the top there, it says J-A-R-E-D.
Yes.
In huge letters across the entire surface. And then when I'm looking, I also saw the word home. And I saw the word joy. So that just blew my mind. That's when she told me about her request to her nephew that he show her a sign and she wanted it to be a tiger cowrie. I never knew that until this shell. So you would think that's a once in a lifetime thing. Well, a year later, I'm teaching a new group of students, and Claudia granted me permission to use her story for all future students. One of the students flew to New England, and she'd already had the class about the Jared shell. I called Claudia and asked if she'd come over so this student could see the Jared shell. And we're sitting at the table, and as she's looking at the Jared shell, I said, you know, what are the odds? I had three of these huge cowries. I could have just as easily given her this one. And I hand another of these big cowries to that student. And a few minutes later, she turns pale. And she says, this shell, let me show you the shell. This is a picture of her shell.
Okay.
She says, this shell says Sandy. S-A-N-D-Y on it in huge letters. Her name was Sandy. So I said, well, that shell has to go home with you. And what happens is when Sandy is scattered and she can't get her energy together, she can't get aligned, she looks at her shell and she can't see her name initially and she focuses. And once she can see all the letters of her name, that brings her in so that she's aligned again.
Our guest on the program is Michelle Hansen, and you're all thinking, how do I get in touch with her? We'll give you that information as we go through the conversation today. You talked early on, you were the only one doing this, working with the Seashell Partners. You were uncomfortable asking people to take your word for messages from the shells because it was new, and this was information that you had and not a lot of other people doing it. What brought you comfort to that point where I feel comfortable in serving as the ambassador?
Well, you're absolutely right. I was not comfortable. I was a shy person, and the shells kind of took me through this journey of developing my confidence. And what happened that was just amazing is I put it out to the universe. Is it okay for me to be speaking for the shells? And the next day, I was shopping with my young nephew for a poster for his bedroom. And he saw another poster a bit farther down the aisle. And he pointed it out to me because it was a little boy holding a shell to a little girl's ear. So it was this shell.
Wow.
Holding it. And this shell, when people hold shells to their ear, they think they're hearing the ocean. But my books told me that it's really amplifying the sound of the blood circulating in your ear. And to me, that was being pumped by your heart. So this always meant listen to your heart whenever I was working with the shell with my clients. So I was walking toward the poster. And let me show you the picture. You see, there's a little boy holding the listen to your
Oh,
heart
yes.
shell. And that's what I said. Oh, he's holding the listen to your heart shell. As I got closer and started to read the inscription below it, I gasped because the first four words are listening to your heart. And let me read the rest of the inscription because this was very important to me. It said, listening to your heart, finding out who you are, is not simple. It takes time for the chatter to quiet down. In the silence of not doing, we begin to know what we feel. If we listen and hear what is being offered, then anything in life can be our guide. Listen. And that hit me to the core because that's what I've been saying. Teachers don't always come in human bodies. Anything can be your guide. So I shared this philosophy and I wanted to know who wrote this because I wanted to read more from this
Yes.
person. So I looked down at the bottom of the poster and it doesn't have a name. It doesn't even say anonymous. It's signed by a picture of a little shell.
Wow.
So to me, the shell was the author.
Yes.
And if we shared the same philosophy, it was like the universe was answering my plea. The shells were granting me permission to be their ambassador. That's how I gained confidence.
Our guest is Michelle Hansen with one incredible story after another. How many times have I said wow and amazing through the course of the conversation, trying to sort all of this out? And you can go to our website and sort it out for yourself, oceanoracle.com. In our last interview, we touched upon how shells provide wisdom in correlation with the love languages. The shells instruct us to think of love as an enormous wheel with many spokes, each spoke being a way to give and to receive love. Can you talk more about that? It was fascinating.
Yes. So the overall picture the shells were giving is that love is like this enormous wheel, and there's all these spokes of methods of receiving and giving love. Love is attention, love is quality time, physical love, words of love, generosity. And each spoke is also represented by a specific shell. So the spoke of love as attention is courtesy of this shell. It's called a moon snail. This is a shark's eye moon snail. And moon snails absorb water into their bodies and they inflate to be like four times their normal size. So here's a picture of a moon snail. You can see this blubbery mass. I mean, the only way to get back in the shell is they have to expel all that water.
Okay.
And with people, when they blow things up out of proportion, make mountains out of molehills, that is a way to get attention. But they usually do this by means of disasters or physical illness, making mountains out of molehills. And the compassion that they receive is interpreted as love. So if you ever hear someone say, oh, if you think that's bad, wait till you hear what happened to me. That is a moon snail person because whatever came before is going to have to be not as bad as what this person is about to tell you. We have an expression. Misery loves company. Think about that for a minute. It means we socialize around misery. We don't say joy loves company. We don't say love loves company.
Yes.
We say misery loves company. So I had a friend, and she told me that in order for me to spend time on the phone with her, she felt she had to be hurting. And I was embarrassed. She was right, because if she was doing okay, the conversation was brief. I was saving time for somebody else who might be struggling. This was not conscious. I didn't want my friend to have to be hurting, but that's what I was doing unintentionally. I was teaching her to wound herself. And I was horrified at that. And that's when I had this aha moment, because moon snails don't judge what we inflate. The problem is not that we need to feel love through attention. It's how we get the attention. Instead of blowing up all these disasters and things have to be even worse, we could take a different tactic. If everyone gets a 90 on a test, you could get a 95 and get attention that way. So I tried an experiment. I called it growing the light. And I decided I was going to pay attention to the wonderful things that are happening. So I would talk to my friends and say, you should hear what happened to so-and-so. It was amazing. Or wait till you hear this astounding thing that I just heard. And I kept doing that to the point where I needed something to report to people, and wonderful things started happening to me. But I knew the experiment worked when one of my friends said, if you think that's great, wait till you hear what happened to me. So it completely shifted from, if you think that's bad, wait till you hear what happened to me, to if you think that's great, wait till you hear what happened to me. And we all have that power to grow the light. I mean, the world needs all the light it can get.
Yes.
All we have to do is choose what we pay attention to for our loved ones, for our family, and we can grow the light. So that's the wisdom from Moon Snail.
All of this information, so much more, in Michelle's books. Her website is oceanoracle.com. I'll mention the books again before we conclude our conversation today. It's going by so quickly because this is such great information, and I love the passion that Michelle brings. And you get that passion from seeing this actually works when you're talking to people. You're able to change lives and unlock maybe doors that have been locked for years with these people. The recordings show how the shells can be used as divination tools. I want to talk about that. We touched on it last time, providing psychological insights. In the other interview we talked about, by the way, that one's available on our website, and you can Google it as well and listen to the first interview. In the previous interview, you touched upon how shells can be used as energy tools. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay. Energy healers work with crystals from the mineral kingdom. Shells are crystals too. Every shell is a crystalline matrix that is formed by the animal that inhabits that shell. Now, in energy work, the body is divided into energy centers called chakras. And they range from the top of your head, called the crown chakra, to the base of your spine, called the root chakra, and right in the middle is the heart chakra. There are different shells or non-mollusks that work at each chakra. So let me show you the heart chakra, because I think you'll understand right away why. There's a couple. This is called a heart cockle. You can see different ones here. Well, sailors use these as Valentines for their sweethearts. I mean, they look like love. They look like hearts. So this is the heart chakra connection. When it comes to the root chakra, the issue there is survival. And there is nothing better on the planet at surviving than the starfish. There are some species of starfish, if you cut them in half, both halves will grow into complete starfish. And in some, a single arm can grow into a complete starfish. That's their capacity to survive. Oyster fishermen don't like starfish because they eat oysters. And some industrious oyster fishermen hauled a whole net full of starfish up onto the deck of their boat, cut them in pieces, and threw the pieces back in the ocean. They multiplied their problem. Now, starfish also have two stomachs, because I mentioned they eat oysters. Look at the mouth. It's this tiny little hole right at the bottom where all the arms meet.
Yes, barely say it, yes.
An oyster is not going to fit into that mouth. So one of their stomachs is situated right over their mouth, and they are able to hover over the oyster, push their stomach out through their mouth, in between the valves of the oyster, and secrete digestive enzymes to liquefy the oyster so they can absorb that oyster, and then they retract their stomach and then pass those contents to the second stomach to complete the digestion. So starfish is about survival over something that turns your stomach, and that's root chakra, survival issues. Now, there are other non-mollusks, sand dollar, sea urchins, that also connect with specific chakras. So in Ocean Wisdom, I go into much greater detail about this. There are also other shells that can be used as energy tools. And they're going to reveal information that is just below the surface of your conscious mind. Ocean Wisdom was the foundation for introducing the idea of the connection of shells to the chakras. But as a natural progression from that, I started another book.
Good.
And I have the cover.
Fantastic.
So it will be called Ocean Crystals, really making the point that seashells are crystals. And the subtitle is Seashells, S-E-A, are seashells, S-E-E. And the eye in the sky up here, the pupil, is a chambered nautilus, because chambered nautilus grows in sacred geometry. It's aligning with our divine perfection. So it's like seeing the world through the perspective of the wisdom in the seashell kingdom.
Fantastic. I love the title. I love that picture.
Thank you.
How soon before the book will be available?
It's about 80% of the way done. So hopefully soon.
That'll be good.
I'm motivated to get it out there for people.
Well, yes. And we're motivated to have you do that. And if you follow her on her website, oceanoracle.com, you'll be among the first to know when the book's available and be able to order your copies. Time went by so quickly on the program today. Let's sort of wrap it up with any final words, any final thoughts you'd like to share about what we just talked about over the course of our conversation today.
Well, in the first interview, I spoke about how Ocean Wisdom was a book before its time. And I based that on the change in public perception around the octopus. It was something that was feared, and now it's respected for its intelligence. My journey was similar in that when I first started out, now, I don't mean for this to sound self-deprecating because this is what happened, but when I first started out, I was on a TV show. It was a call-in show, and someone called in to ask if anyone had ever called me an idiot, and I thought he was being protective, so I said, not to my face. And he proceeded to tell me he thought I was an idiot.
Oh, geez.
Now, this year, a few months ago, I was on a show, and someone called me an Einstein. And I'm talking about the same information. It's just the change in public perception.
Yes.
So with that said, I want people to realize that shells can deliver messages to everyone. If this looked familiar, if anyone has ever done this, instinct was telling you that the shells have something to say. And the beauty of this is if the shells evoke any kind of emotion in you, they already are delivering messages, just not at a conscious level of awareness. So the point of the books and the classes is to change that so that you can listen again and understand.
This has been such a fascinating conversation, and you can continue this by going to Michelle's website, get information on the books, the classes, everything that's going on in her life, and you'll be able to find out when the next book is coming out, which I love, Ocean Crystals, Seashells, and Seashells. I love that, the beautiful cover on that the new book as well. Our
Thank
guest
you so
has
much.
Been Michelle Hansen. Her website is oceanoracle.com. You'll be able to get information there on everything we talked about and so much more, the two books, Ocean Oracle and Ocean Wisdom. My thanks once again to authors Perspective Press. We thank them for bringing our conversation together back again on today's program with Michelle. They're a forward-thinking hybrid publishing company at the nexus of innovation and strategy, dedicated to guiding authors through the intricate landscape of publishing and marketing. AuthorsPerspectivePress.com. Michelle, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Hope this is part two of many. So much that more that we can talk about. I love the way you're bringing this message to people. You're Einstein. You really are. Forget the forget the first caller. You are
Thank
Einstein.
You so much.
Thank you.
You've allowed me the opportunity to be an ambassador for my Seashell partners, and it's just a chance to share their wisdom with people. I so appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate you being with us and sharing that wisdom and the wisdom that maybe we've thought about, but really, if not really followed through. You mentioned and your show was picking up the seashell and listening to it. Well, I guess we think we're going to get a message. And Michelle is telling us all about those messages. Again, more information on our website, oceanoracle.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and there's more on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.